As born-again souls, we should find it easy and normal to give thanks. Would you agree with that statement? We know in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Obviously, it's also the theme of many of the Psalms that we read. During this Thanksgiving season, we have tried to emphasize the reason, the greatest reason for giving thanks. As we saw there in Psalm 32 and 33, the great reason is we are a people that have been forgiven. It's a wonderful thought. I must confess, it has taken on a very fresh reality in my own heart as I have studied and meditated on that simple phrase found there in Psalm 32. In these past weeks, nearly every day, I'm thinking in terms of blessed, happy. It's given me... happy thoughts, joyful thoughts, to consider that God has forgiven me. Happy is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. What a glorious thing it is. What a wonderful perspective to live day by day knowing Jesus Christ himself, the Father, the Holy Ghost, the triune God, has absolutely forgiven me of my sins. And I don't want to sin. I do sin, but I don't want to sin. I do have thoughts that are not consistent with the holy character of God, for which every day I ask the Lord, when they rise up in my still old selfish mind, to ask the Lord to forgive and deliver me. You do as well if you've been saved by God's grace. So praise should be a natural response for you and I that have been forgiven. And Psalm 32 and 33 has allowed us to meditate on this great reality. Forgiven, rejoicing. It seems that one more response, as I meditated and have thought about this, one more response is really called for. And I find it in the form of the question that I read to you as we called ourselves to worship here this morning. And that is found in this 12th verse of Psalm 116. It reads, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" As I thought and meditated on this, I thought of the word, a word that's not found in our Bible. The word gratitude. You don't find the word gratitude as such in the Bible. But I find it in the spirit of this declaration here when the psalmist writes, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me?" I'd like for us to consider the reason the psalmist poses this question as it's found in this particular psalm. Now, again, we're thinking in terms of the greatest blessing that God has given to us, and that is that he has pardoned us from all of our sin. My sin in its past, it's the stain. I will not know that in eternity. I don't know what we'll remember as eternity rolls along of our past. What I will know what do know is that I'll be always thankful for having been forgiven. That'll always stand out, that I have been one of the sinners God forgave. So I want to break down the psalm here. There's many of these verses of Scripture that could simply stand as something to preach in and of itself. But for our benefit here today, I want to break the psalm down, first of all, by its first two verses, that God has heard us. And then second of all, I want you to see how the psalmist, and I personally believe it's David, though the psalm is untitled and no author is ascribed to it, but I'm convinced by the language it just sounds so familiar to be David. But if I'm wrong, they can correct me when I get on the other side. I'll be fine with that. From verses 3 through 11, I want you to see how he recounts the story. He wants to tell you the story. And then I want you to see finally that he has an intentional response. First of all, verse 1 and verse 2, Psalm 116, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Heavenly Father, we want to say that we love you, and yet we find and have to be honest that so much within us is still self, and we would plead in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to give us greater victories where we set aside our old self. And we look forward to the day when we will be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it'll be our eternal joy to live with no thought, no action, but that would be consistent with the holy character of the living God. And we look forward to that day. And he would pray, even so come, Lord Jesus. But we ask today that you'll fill our hearts with love for you, settled by the truth of your word, and then set into a life of service for your glory. Thank you for forgiving us. Certainly we are blessed that our iniquities have not been imputed. They've not been laid to our account. Rather, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ has been laid to our account, and we love and rejoice and praise you for it. So bless us now in these thoughts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God has heard us. Really? God has heard us? That's exactly what the psalmist is accounting here. He says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice. God had not only heard David's request, God had answered. And he had answered in such a way that David knew that God had answered the prayer. Now, if God has answered any of your prayers, you need to do the very same thing that David did. You need to, first of all, stand up in the congregation and say, I love the Lord because he heard my voice. He heard me. Now, don't you think that would be an encouragement? If God answered some particular prayer that you prayed, and on a Sunday morning, you got up and you said, I'm just bursting. I got to tell you this. I had a prayer request. I had asked God to answer this, and He heard my voice. It is, shouldn't it be something that is astonishing? This God that created you and everything around you. He's holding, as the song says, He's got the whole world in His hands. Itty bitty baby's got in His hands. And the same God that is in charge of all heard my voice. Would you long for that? Not just merely to pray, but for God to really hear your voice. Why would He condescend to hear your voice? But it's His delight to do so. If He saved you by His grace, you're His child. There's never a time that I don't get a call from one of my children that I don't love to hear their voice. I love to hear their voice. Every time our Chad calls, Sharon says, no sooner does he hang up. I don't have to imagine the next thing that's going to come out of her mouth. She says, I love his voice. I love to hear his voice. God loves to hear my voice. If you can pray someplace where you can pray out loud, pray audibly, I often pray silently. I confess to that. But I think there's something to be said here that that David makes this declaration. I love the Lord because He heard my voice. And it's something that I audibly spoke to Him. It was most likely in private, but I don't know that for sure. What I do know for sure is that David could say, God heard my voice. Do you remember when he first heard your voice? The day in which you asked him to forgive you of your sins and to save you and to change you, forgive you, and he heard your voice, and the load was gone. And with tears of joy and gratitude, you knew that God had accepted you when you came to him in repentance. He brought you into a relationship that you had not had before. Oh, you might have asked God for some kind of selfish help at some point prior to that. But in that moment where you were birthed into the family of the living God and your life was changed, your heart was changed, your mind was changed, everything about you became new. You stepped into a relationship you had never had before. Yes, you remember, if not these words were spoken out of your mouth, you remember there on the day of Pentecost, after Peter had finished praying and the Holy Ghost took the sword of the Word of God and pierced 3,000 souls. And their one unanimous cry was, what shall we do? When the Lord Jesus met Paul on the road to Damascus, he said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? And the Philippian jailer said, what must I do to be saved? God first heard our voice when we cried to Him in repentance, turning away from old self and sin. Yes, we can say with David, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice. in the passage, and clearly something had greatly disturbed, and we'll see that here in just a moment, David's life. And so he said, not only did the Lord hear my voice, but he heard my supplications. I didn't stop at that one time of prayer. It wasn't just my voice once in the past. I have continued again and again and again and again. Supplication is an earnest cry. Have you had some earnest cries from the heart, as James would describe, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Have you had some heat in your supplications lately? Be encouraged. God stands ready to hear your voice, to respond. He heard my voice, the supplications, the earnest cries. And what did God do? Verse 2 says, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Well, you know, I am getting a little hard of hearing. So every once in a while, you may say something to me, and you'll see me lean in towards you a little bit closer, and say, "What was that? What did you say?" And I'm doing it a whole lot more often here of late, it seems as well. But that is the idea here. When David writes this, he says, because he hath inclined. For Nick's sake, Nick, I'm kind of bending over a little bit. I'm kind of leaning down with my ear towards the floor. Like I would do with one of my grandchildren who, in their little voice, that I do, since I'm not around them so much, I don't always understand, especially little Goldie, who's got a tooth missing now. And so sounds kind of funny when she talks. So I need to kind of lean down, put my ear a little closer to her. Well, you immediately see the intimacy, don't you? I love the Lord because he heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. What an encouragement when we have a sense that God has leaned down as a father. You would lean down to a child to make certain you heard all that's being said. It almost makes you want to go home and just get on your knees and lay before the Lord, knowing that God, this mighty God, this glorious God, this God ready to forgive, ready to hear, wants to hear from you. And in such a reality, what can we say but I love him? I love him, and I'm going to call upon him as long as I live. Whatever else is coming, and there'll be more coming, but whatever else is coming, I love him because he heard my voice. And he's leaned down to make certain he got all that I needed said. And he's not turned away from my supplications. I've cried to him again and again and again. He never said at any time, hey, that's enough. He has stood ready to hear me. Well, now, having said all of that, having said the Lord heard me, he leaned down to listen to me. Now, let me tell you how this happened. Verse 3. The sorrows of death compassed me, or compassed me, however you want to word that. And the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Well, that sounds pretty serious, doesn't it? So David is saying, I love the Lord because he inclined his ear. And here's the story behind this. This is what was going on when I cried for help. The sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. When did this happen? He doesn't say. He doesn't go into the detail as to when this was, what the trouble and sorrow was, but such language tells you how difficult this moment was when God heard his voice. I don't even know quite how to describe such language other than to simply take it for the face value of the extremity to which these words speak. Sorrows of death and pains of hell. Maybe it was a time when Saul was chasing him. Maybe it was during the period of Absalom. I don't know. But what does he say in verse 4? Now he's going to repeat what he's already told you in verse 1 and 2. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. He wants to tell you the story. Not in the details, but in the reality of it. And he says God had delivered him. Yes, he loved the Lord because God had delivered him. He had discovered God to be gracious, righteous, and merciful. And the Lord had preserved him as being just simple. It's a good word. I like that word, simple. It kind of goes along with what the Lord Jesus spoke of in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5:5 when he spoke about the meek. The meek will inherit the earth. Simple. Mm-hmm. The Lord preserveth the simple. I'm glad that God strips us of our pride. Aren't you glad God strips you of your pride? We have proud thoughts that roll through our head every now and then. Some more than often, more often than others. David says here, the Lord preserves the simple. I'm glad to take that place and acknowledge that I'm just a simple sinner in need of a gracious God to watch over and preserve me. So you see, he says, I love the Lord because the Lord heard my voice. And here's what happened. My circumstance, it was as though death and hell were about to swallow me up. But then I called. So what he's saying here, he's saying, listen, when the same kind of trouble gets a hold of you, do what I did. Call upon him. I called upon his name. I beseeched him and he delivered my soul. Gracious is the Lord. Will you consider this is who our God is? He's not holding you at arm's length. He would lean down to hear what you have to say. And no matter how dark and difficult, he stands ready. Also, he says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord in verse 7 hath dealt bountifully with me, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Here is a great expression of David's faith. He sees how God had sustained him. God has delivered his soul, his eyes from tears, his feet from falling. What's the response? I'm going to walk before the Lord. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. God always is bringing us to the place of causing us to walk right. Because God had given him faith. Look at verse 10. I believed. Therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. It's kind of an unusual passage of Scripture here. David had been tested. Certainly he had been afflicted. There wasn't anyone to trust. Wasn't anyone he could find confidence in. But do you notice that something is missing? I'm going to read verse 10 and verse 11. And then connect it with verse 12. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Something's missing between verse 11 and verse 12. And that is the answer of deliverance. God stepped in place when all other that he could have rested upon or leaned upon or trusted, he found all of them to be absolutely inadequate. And so he says, and we come to this great question found in this psalm, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I want you to see here, he now, looking back, as severe and dangerous as his circumstance was, God has heard his prayer. And out of that, what shall I render? For God who has heard me. Heard me when I cried out to him in repentance. Heard me when he saved my soul. Heard me when I asked him to forgive me. And then has heard me throughout all the troubles and all the extreme circumstances that I've gone through. You know, and sometimes in the Christian life, there is something of a defining moment or time where we see that God, as a Christian, steps in and intervenes in some area of deliverance, that from that point on, it changes you. Yes, the Lord saves you, and you've walked with the Lord, but then trials and difficulties come. And sometimes there is a defining time or circumstance that the Lord delivers you as a believer through, that fixes you, that you're going to walk with him in the land of the living, and you're going to call upon him every day of your life. God preserves and protects. So what is the response? He asked the question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits? The fact that he has forgiven you, The fact that he has answered your prayers, he has sustained you and carried you through. What does he say in response to, in verse 13? It is an intentional response. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. First of all, he makes this point. He will take the cup of salvation. All that God has provided, he'll take it. He'll rejoice because the cup, not only a cup in the Old Testament, very often spoke of rejoicing. Hold your place here in the Psalms, and I want you to turn back to the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. Can you imagine that? All of those that came in celebration of the ark being brought to where it belonged to be, brought great rejoicing, great sacrifices, great peace offerings. David says here, because God has heard his voice and delivered him and sustained him and preserved him when death had compassed him and hell had gotten a hold of him, I'll take, he says, the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. He thanks God for the great deliverance that God has given to him. And I think it's, I think it's not only reflective of our salvation, but of this great deliverance that God had given to David that moved him to make that write this particular psalm. And he says, not only will I'm going to take this cup of salvation, the second thing I'm determined to do, he says in verse 14, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Here is a public recognition of God's grace. That's why I said to you earlier, when the Lord bends down his ear to hear and answer some prayer, you and I are obligated, and we should, come before God's congregation and say, this is what the Lord has done. He's heard, he's answered me. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. That's why the scripture says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So he pays his vow. Here is a public declaration. And he continues to repeat that as well. And what does he say here? Unusual. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Now, I know that we take that in one line of thought just as its own, and we do know, and we repeat it when the Lord takes somebody home, when the Lord took Sister Sheila home, when the Lord took Brother Bob home, and others that we have loved and have been precious. We recognize that this one simple verse applies to that homegoing of the child of God. But in this context, we see God as our deliverer. He says the sorrows of death in verse 3 had taken hold of him. Verse 8, he repeats it, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will take the cup of salvation. God has delivered me." Precious in the sight of the Lord, God had preserved him from death. Yet, to die another day, he would still die, and that moment would be precious in God's sight, but for the time being, God had delivered him from death. God is still our sustainer in life and in death. And then he repeats verses 16 to 19. He repeats the praise with purpose. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of the people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. You see, he must come before God's people and tell of what the Lord has done for him. He gives you and I opportunity in days of thanksgiving, in days of answered prayer, to acknowledge all that God has done for us. We are a people that have been forgiven. What can we render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Well, I would say number one, may God help us to be more faithful in prayer. He stands ready. Because he hath inclined his ear, he stands ready to lean down his ear toward you. And if that is the possibility, that's how we first looked at this in Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression are forgiven, whose sin is covered. And we looked at that, the great potential that God would actually forgive. Here we see, here, God would actually hear my prayer. No matter how dire the circumstance, he is able to deliver from the greatest difficulty. So this encourages us, this ought to incite us to come before him, because he stands ready to incline his ear, to lean down and hear our prayers. We ought to be more faithful in our testimony, certainly among ourselves, because that is what's emphasized here in verse 14, and then again in verse 18. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Verse 18, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. If you didn't get it the first time, it's spoken the second time for emphasis. We know that whenever anything in Scripture is repeated twice, Jesus saying, verily, verily, truly, truly. This is absolute. Don't miss it. This is necessary for you and I to be faithful to give God praise and thanks when he inclines his ear to hear us, to hear our voice and our supplications. More faithful in prayer, more faithful in testimony, but also more faithful as a servant. Verse 16, O Lord, truly, I am thy servant. Could we be anything otherwise to the one that has heard my voice and my supplications and has inclined his ear, has leaned down his ear to me and delivered me? Absolutely. I ought to be more faithful as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has bought me with his own blood. more faithful in prayer, more faithful in testimony, more faithful as a servant. I think we could also say, as he emphasizes this twice in verse 14 and verse 18, we will trust God in our giving. And we will be faithful in God's house. Verse 19, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. One of the things that God calls upon us is to be faithful. Faithful in our service. That's what David emphasizes here. If God hears and answers your prayer, if God meets your moment of great supplication when you've cried unto him, what can you do but be faithful in God's house, coming, meeting together with God's people, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Come together often. Come together to pray. Come together to praise and give testimony to what God has done for you. And to hear what God has done for others. It strengthens our faith. So in these messages here in the Thanksgiving season, we've seen we are people forgiven. And out of that, we ought to be a people rejoicing. And we ought to love the Lord because he has heard and will hear our prayers. We ought to be a people of intercession. And so finally, David concludes this with the Hallel, the praise, the Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord is simply the translation of Hallelujah. That's what he says. That's what it means. Hallelujah. And you go right into Psalm 117. I praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All of these psalms, beginning at, if you go back and look, you see Psalm 111, Psalm 112, Psalm 113. These are the Hallel Psalms, where we give praise for what God has done for us. Thanksgiving is not just a day on our calendar. It's our everyday opportunity to glorify our Lord because He has forgiven us. And we now can tell the stories, one after another, of how he heard us. He heard my voice. It makes me want to go home, just spend time in quiet with the Lord, because he wants to hear my voice. Whether it's something very simple or something very grave, whatever it may be, if he'll hear my voice in the most horrific of moments, which is the case that is described here in Psalm 116, death and hell getting a hold of him. If God will hear my voice in those extreme moments, will he not hear my voice for the smaller things? Isn't that the line of thought in Romans chapter 8? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Isn't that the line of thought? If God has given to us his son, why would you think he would withhold anything from you? If he has heard your voice in the most extreme moments of life, will he not hear your voice for the little things as well? Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are our God. And we love you because you have heard our voice. Lord, we're pleading with you for the great needs in our family, the lost loved ones, the great struggles that you're putting our family and some and ourselves through. Lord, we look forward to your deliverance, to you hearing our voice and our supplications. Lord, help us out of this mercy, this gracious kindness. Help us to render return to you what you have done for us. Return praise and worship and service. Our heart filled with love, our minds filled with truth, and our hands and feet ready to serve. We are your servants. We can find no other proper or right response except to say, use us, Lord, for your glory. We'll thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. So the word render, it means to turn or turn again. Just as the word gratitude in our language would mean when somebody has extended something to you, you turn to that one that has given something to you in thanks. So the word render means to turn or turn again. What shall I render? What shall I turn again? To God who has given us so much, we render unto him. We take his cup of salvation and we bring him praise and service. I want you to turn to the last song that we sang before the message today, hymn number 358. I want us to sing the two middle verses, verse 2 and verse 3, in closing. You can stand from your seats as we sing number 358, singing the second and the third verse in closing. Consecrate me now to thy service, O Lord, by thy power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Father, help us. Lord Jesus, help us to love you with a whole heart and to serve you faithfully, to render to you all that you deserve of rejoicing, of a new song of praise, of gratitude, of testimony, and of service, not only to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, but to a world that needs to hear that God, the living God, hears and answers the voice of His people. For this we'll praise You and ask to be used by You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.